following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the coach from the WWE.
Sammy Guevara, the best ever, the Spanish guy.
Hey guys, it's me, Santino Marella.
Solomonster here.
My name is Vampiro.
Hey, this is Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net.
Prime Time with Sean Mooney.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Your flagship.
Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
Roll it!
Welcome to the flagship edition of the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. A hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. Now, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is the flagship. It is episode number 121. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. I hope you guys are all doing well wherever you are in the world. I hope you fathers out there are enjoying this Father's Day weekend. And happy Father's Day to all of you dads from around the world. What a crazy week. I mean, not just in wrestling, but in my own personal life. Holy cow. I started off the week last Sunday with the episode about why Richie Reardon and I left the Reality Check Podcast Network and started our own network. And I know I promised I would not be talking about it again on the show. But in light of recent events that took place this week, someone complained to Spreaker about harassment and defamation, and it broke their terms of service, so they said it was going to be taken down, so I took it upon myself to take it down, and because, you know, enough people heard it, I didn't want any more issues from the people of that network, and I didn't want to cause any more trouble. We said what we had to say. Those involved were not going to let it go until that was taken down, so I took it upon myself and I took it down. So if you're wondering where that episode went, it is gone, and we'll never be heard again on this network. I spoke with Mr. John Langland. I let him say what he had to say. And we put our differences aside. I don't know if we'll ever work together again. We'll see. And I don't want to come across as hypocritical. But I will say this. When things happened, when he told me he didn't want me on his network anymore, and even stemming back from that first fight back in March, I was very hurt. I mean, this was a man that I loved, and still do. And when I'm hurt as a person, you can even ask my wife this, it's just the way I am. When I am deeply, deeply hurt to my core, I will say and do whatever I can to lash out and get back at that person, no matter what it is. I have no filter. In my opinion, and I told him this, everything that transpired that I said on this show was from my own personal experience and is the truth as far as I'm concerned. It is the truth as the way it happened to me. That's why I made sure to cite actual real messages. That being said, I also spoke with another person from that network, Christopher Martin. And the way I spoke about him on the Mike Durban show was inappropriate. I never should have made fun of his speech impediment. As to the question of whether or not he legit had an injury and got surgery, look, to me, and I'm sorry, Chris, the judge and jury are still out. I'll take you at your word, but I'm still skeptical. But I don't want to get into that. I told Christopher I would make a public apology on this show, and as a man, I am a man of my word. I apologize for speaking about you the way that I did on the Mike Durban show. And I also want to apologize to John, even though I didn't come out and confirm or deny the possibility that John may be using drugs again. Again, I'll take John at his word until I can be proved otherwise. But Richie and I really didn't want to talk about that. It came up. We kind of danced around it. But we don't know for sure. And that was the one thing that John was most upset about was, you know, he spent 6 years of his life trying to get his life back. You know, when he came back from the armed forces and from his tours of duty and was adjusting to life and got hooked on drugs and alcohol, he almost lost everything. And it took him a long time to rebuild his reputation. That's all I'm going to say about that. I apologize for even commenting on that publicly. I wasn't comfortable about it, but in the heat of the moment, I didn't really care what was said because I was that angry. And I felt that what had transpired between me and him was unjust and was wrong. So that is the last thing I will say about it. But everything else that I said on this show and that Richie said on this show, and 90% of what we said on the Mike Durban show was the truth as it happened to us. But as far as the whole situation, I'd like to put it all behind us and move on to talk about wrestling, because that is what this show is all about. That's what most of our shows are all about, is wrestling.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
But it's been a crazy week in wrestling. You know, wrestling-wise, I started off on Monday speaking with B. Brian Blair from the Killer Bees and had a fantastic conversation with him and made a really, really good friend. Him and his old partner, Jim, have become really, really good friends of mine. And I'm very fortunate for that. And my dad lives near Mr. Blair. So next time I go and see my dad, Brian and I will definitely hook up and meet face-to-face. And I had such a blast talking to him. Jimmy sends me emails every week with Bruce Springsteen clips. You guys heard from the show. He's a huge Springsteen fan, and Jimmy's doing well, given all the craziness that's going on in Minnesota. But you know, then we get to midweek, and wow, things really hit the fan. The whole hashtag speaking out movement in pro wrestling has taken Twitter over by storm. It's pretty impressive. The amount of information that has come out this week, that'll be our main topic in the news desk. So that'll be pretty lengthy, but we will definitely address that later on in as much detail as I can based on what I've seen that's come out in the last couple days. But first, I'd like to get into what I liked and what I didn't like about this week's AEW, NXT, Raw, and SmackDown. So let's get into it. Here is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
now time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Starting off with Monday Night Raw, let's get into the good. We started off the show with Randy Orton, who was speaking about his win at Backlash in the greatest wrestling match ever against Edge, and got interrupted by, well, somebody we haven't seen on Raw in quite some time.
This has never been about you. This story is about Edge and myself. It's not about you. It's never been about you. It never will be about you. You are nothing more than jealous of your friend, Edge. But I see that look in your eye. I see that look. I know what you want. I'll tell you what you want. I know you better than you know yourself. You want one more match.
Absolutely not, Randy. Absolutely not. I'm out here to defend my friend.
Please, 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 to defend your friend. Come on. You and Edge, you're both the same. You can't accept the fact that this something you love more than anything in the world was taken away from you before you were ready to say goodbye. Now, I know you are not medically cleared to compete, but I got a way around that. You see, tonight, Christian versus Orton, unsanctioned. What do you say? Hey, just so you know, that offer expires by the end of the night. And if you don't accept, then it just proves what we all already know. That you're nothing more than a coward.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
I heard the rumors. I heard that Christian may be coming back and quite possibly even be cleared to wrestle again. And I was happy to see him. He looks great. He's in great shape. We see him on WWE backstage from time to time. Well, I mean, those of you that watch it, not many people do. But it was good to see him back here. And, well, the reason for this is because Edge is injured. Edge tore his tricep or bicep, one of the two, and he'll probably be out for about 7 or 8 months, if not longer. It's a pretty tough injury to come back from, and you know, he got injured at Backlash. I don't know at what point he got injured during that match. It was a pretty long match. Hopefully it wasn't too early on, because if it was, man, he wrestled a long time like that, and you really wouldn't know it. I'm going to go back and watch it again to see if I can see where it happened, or see if I could tell, you know, how he was reacting afterwards, and if he was trying to avoid doing certain things. But man, you want to talk about a trooper. To finish a match with an injury like that is it's pretty impressive. So yeah, that was going to set up a match between Christian and Randy Orton, an unsanctioned match. And right before the match was about to happen, Ric Flair came into Christian's dressing room and kind of, you know, tried to get him to not wrestle, you know, to not take on Randy Orton, because you never know what Randy Orton is capable of. And he just doesn't want to see him get hurt. But Christian said he had to do what he had to do. And there's about 5 or 6 minutes left on the show when this happened. I'm like, well, there's no freaking way this, you know, this match is going to happen. And that's what I really hate about not having an overrun anymore, and especially having taped shows, because they are going to end, you know, right at 11 o'clock Eastern. So I didn't have high hopes for this match, and I was pleasantly surprised at the outcome. So I was right about the match. It didn't actually happen, but that's because Ric Flair came down to interrupt and gave Christian a nut shot from behind. And then Randy took Christian out with a punt. The punt kick is back. It wasn't just for Edge at Backlash. He took Christian out with the same move. He's pretty much back to being the Legend Killer. And as the paramedics came out to take care of Christian, put him on a stretcher, make sure they isolated his neck, stabilized his neck, Randy got down and said, "This was all your fault. I didn't want to do this." Just great. Randy Orton is light years ahead of most people right now in the world of wrestling. And that comes with his experience. And for just being an Orton, let's be honest. He is a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt. He is what Jim Ross used to say is a bona fide blue chip, a blue chipper. This is fantastic. So I don't know what's going to happen to Christian now. I guess he's going to be out for a while. I don't know what's next for Randy Orton. Maybe he takes some time off. I mean, he has been working a limited schedule even before the pandemic, but probably even more so now. But this was very, very entertaining and kind of an Evolution reunion between the old former Evolution mates, Ric Flair and Randy Orton. So dirtiest player in the game. 70-something years old, he's still a heel, no matter what. But that was fun. The other good was something that I had predicted months ago, and even mentioned it again last week. Bobby Lashley is moving forward in his professional relationship with MVP, and he's moving away from his relationship with his wife, Lana. He asked for a divorce. He said he was bothered by Lana putting their personal life on social media and how Lana made everything about her, even after his loss against Drew McIntyre. And he said he wanted a divorce right there in front of the world. I didn't think it would happen that quickly. But I will say this. It doesn't automatically mean that he's going to become a babyface, because MVP is playing the heel role right now. And since there's no crowd, I don't think they're going to rush to make Lashley a babyface until they're convinced that he can get a good reaction from the fans. I know there's limited fans there, and this was even a test run to have some actual legit fans in the audience, even though none of them are wearing masks. And apparently there's an edict, an executive order in Orlando that should be signed this weekend mandating that all masks are to be worn for any public gatherings. But any event, and we'll get into the bad when it comes to that here in a second. But I liked this segment between those guys, and I knew it was going to happen at some point. So it looks like Lana and Lashley will be no more. Another thing I liked about this show, another point in the good column, was the interview between Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio. Rey's son Dominic had told everybody on social media that he will be on Raw to confront Seth Rollins. And as Rey and Seth were talking via satellite, Dominic came out of the crowd and attacked Seth. Seth had told Rey, Dominic could either join up with me or not. He's against me, and he will not be held responsible for what he does to Dominic Mysterio. But Dominic took the upper hand and made sure he got the better of Seth first and attacked him. And Murphy and Siri came down and tried to grab Dominic, and Dominic ended up running out back into the crowd and left. So that was a pretty cool segment. I really enjoyed the Apollo Crews and Shelton Benjamin match for the United States Championship. These guys are two fantastic athletes. And to my knowledge, it's the first time they hooked up one-on-one. And it was a really, really good match, a short match. Crews even caught Benjamin with a roll-up with his hands on the ropes after Benjamin tried to to pin Apollo with his feet on the ropes. Cruz got a got one up on him, and I thought it was very, very enjoyable. This last part of the good was R-Truth. R-Truth was backstage with the WWE champion Drew McIntyre, and Bobby Lashley and MVP came up and challenged them to a tag team match, winner takes all, for both their titles. Truth said, "Yeah, man, we'll do it." And Drew's like, "Nah, man, shut up." He's like, "Stop." He's like, "No, nah, Drew's not afraid of anybody." Thinking if Truth and Drew won, Truth would become the WWE champion, not knowing that if they won, they would keep their respective titles, the 24/7 title on the WWE title. But if they lost, Drew and Lashley and MVP would become the WWE champion and the 24/7 champion. So Truth Mouth got them into trouble, but it was hilarious. They ended up having a match. Truth and McIntyre won in a really, really good match. So that was pretty fun. The bad. Viking Profits. The Viking Raiders and the Street Profits. They're now being called the Viking Profits when they team together. They were confronted backstage by Akira Tozawa and his ninjas. We saw the ninjas at Backlash during the fight between the Profits and the Raiders in a ridiculously hilarious segment, but they brought it back here for Raw, and Tozawa came with the whitest ninjas I've ever seen in my life. But then all of a sudden, a really, really tall ninja shows up. I mean, this guy had to be 7'2", 7'3", I don't know. He looked well over 7 feet tall. Big, giant African-American man who I have no idea who he is. They end up having a tag team match. Tozawa and the three ninjas with the giant ninja outside the ring. A very, very quick match. It's almost like a super quick Dark Order squash match. The Viking Profits won, and the giant ninja hit the ring. And as soon as he was about to go face-to-face with the Viking Profits, the Big Show's music plays. Big Show beat up the smaller ninjas and the bigger ninja. I can't believe I'm even talking about this. Left the ring and hightailed it. So I don't know. Well, I mean, assuming we'll see more of this next week, maybe we will get a face-to-face or a match between the Big Show and this other 7-foot-tall ninja. But this for me was pretty dumb. I don't mind it if it's in an intended comedy segment, but then when you're bringing these ninja wannabes or whatever into an actual wrestling match, it just doesn't do it for me. Other bad regarding the Street Profits and regarding what I said earlier about masks now being mandated at the Performance Center by the city of Orlando, and I don't know how many shows are taped or when we'll see that on TV. It may not be for a couple of weeks until they possibly tape again or do a live show. I don't remember what the schedule is like, but the Street Profits took it upon themselves and supposedly have heat with the WWE because this wasn't planned. They went on the other side of the plexiglass and ran through the crowd and celebrated with them and danced with them like they used to do during their live shows with the live crowds. And they went on both sides and high-fiving people and all that, and apparently have heat with WWE over that because that was not planned. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that is the latest report that is out. But if that is true, it's not good for the Profits to... I mean, it was fun to watch, but you're going to get a lot of heat from a lot of people in this day and age that still believe that the pandemic is the most horrible thing ever, and that you could potentially get people sick and they could possibly die. That's not a smart move on their part to do that, to even make people anxious, when you do that. I don't know. It wasn't a smart move on them. The Ugly, the Iconics. Anytime these two are on the show, they took on Liv Morgan and Natty in a horrible match, and Sasha and Bayley came out and they all got on the mic after that, and I just can't. I can't deal with any of them on the microphone, especially Bayley and Sasha. They're just so bad. And then afterwards, Natty was yelling at Liv backstage and blamed her for losing the match. And Natty is just such a bad actor, bad actress. She's just not good. Morgan walked away in disgust. Natty kept talking to herself and said that she's built the women's division for nothing but ingrates. And then Lana came over, who is even worse than Natty, for fuck's sake. Lana arrived and started talking about her problems too, and said that she's tired of being blamed for everyone's problems. And Natty says she knows how she feels. And good God, if you ever watch Total Divas and you saw Lana and Natty go, head to head, when Lana was telling Natty that she's a horrible actress and she's a horrible promo and needs to take acting lessons. Well, Lana, whoever you've been paying to give you acting lessons, should be out of a job, because you both suck. Moving on to AEW Dynamite. Here is the good and the bad and the ugly for Dynamite. My good from Dynamite was MJF taking on Billy Gunn in a really good match. Good to see Billy back in the ring, and MJF is so good as a performer. And what I really, really loved about this match was that MJF knocked Billy out with his diamond ring that he had. Old school style, man, whether it's brass knucks or a ring, or, you know, remember the power of the punch from Steven Regal, William Regal. MJF knocked Billy out with one punch at the end with his diamond ring. So that was fun.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Tony Schiavone interviewed Dr. Britt Baker, who was so funny during the night, just sending messages to Tony as they're broadcasting, just kind of giving her live commentary through text message, and Tony would read the messages. But I really enjoyed the interview he did with her, so let's take a listen to it right now.
I'm here, of course, with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Thank you very much for all the messages that you've been sending our way tonight. We have a big announcement at Fyter Fest. The Women's World Champion, Hikaru Shida, will defend against Penelope Ford. Now, it's a fact that Penelope Ford has been red hot. She scored a big pinfall last week. It's a fact she has leapfrogged over many competitors to get this title shot.
Is that what you just waddled down here to tell me? The facts? The facts are my leg is broken. The facts are I'm a conspiracy victim. The facts are you are now in a lot of shit. And TNT is going to be furious because you just lost an interview with the face of the women's division. And we are on a friendship timeout, Tony, so I cannot help you. This is done.
I was just giving the...
Reba, no. Reba, get me out of here. Reba. Let's go, Reba. Where to, doctor?
Big Swole behind the wheel.
Well, this doesn't bode well for the good doctor.
Hey, so you kept your day straight. Now look at you. Now you're gone. B5, I'm out of here. Gonna put you where you belong, little heifer.
Britt Baker being carried away by Big Swole.
But to where?
From my iPhone app. She's right around the corner. Let's go. Let's go. Come on, Britt. Are you in there, Britt? Oh, my
Reba!
God. I can't believe I
Reba,
found you.
Reba, 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Where have you been? I've been here for 5 hours.
Well, actually, that's only been 1 hour, but I'm so glad
what?
I found you.
Oh, not one. You're keeping track of them? No, it's been 5 minutes. You're fired. Get out. Get out.
You mean I'm free?
No, you're not fired. You're rehired. Help me get out of here. Where were you?
I was in the bathroom. I was in the bathroom.
You were in the bathroom? Why? You don't go to the bathroom. Why are you in the bathroom? This is a full-time job. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You don't go anywhere. You're by me. You're with me. You're hired by me. You don't go anywhere. You don't go to the bathroom.
Okay. Okay.
And where the hell is Tony Schiavone?
You gave him a friendship timeout.
No, it doesn't matter. He should be here. He should always be here. Okay. He's a friend. Text him right now.
I'll text him. Call him. Get him here right now.
Yep. And what is this? Why do you care? Why there's lighting? Why do you have this?
Well, I just needed them to see you being rescued.
Rescued? Right? Yes. Oh, I'm a damsel in distress. You're a glory hog? Oh, no, Reba. No, 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 Reba, okay.
No. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. Get Tony on the phone. phone
okay,
right now.
Okay, okay, okay.
And since you're here, Big Swole, you will pay for this. You will literally pay for this, and I will make sure of it. I will sue you. You will pay fines, and you will never, ever forget the day that you kidnapped Dr. Britt Baker. I'm going to get you, Big Swole, if it's the last thing I do. Reba, get me out of here. Reba, get me out of here! What are you doing? I'm like, it's 6 hours okay, now. Okay, yep. Get in here. Okay. Why are you going to get me out of here? Get a ladder. Get something. Get somebody. Get a tow truck. I need help.
We need help.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We need more than help. Get me out of here. What are we doing?
The Big Swole stuff was all right. But Britt getting Big Swole taking control of her wheelchair and dumping her into a trash can, and then Britt blaming her assistant and firing her was just really fun. Britt's doing a great job. She really is. I enjoyed the main event. The best friends, Chuck Taylor and Trent, taking on Lace Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara for the number one contendership for the World Tag Team Championships. And a really, really good match. And God, poor Sammy. Sammy eats the finisher from Trent, but because the cameraman accidentally tripped Guevara, and Trent hit his finisher on him for a three count. So big win for best friends. They are the number one contenders for the tag team championships. And but after the match, the cameraman revealed himself to be Orange Cassidy, and he immediately attacked Chris Jericho and knocked Jericho out of the ring after hitting a Superman punch. So really big deal to get that kind of a rub for Orange Cassidy against somebody like Chris Jericho. I know they tried it with Jungle Boy, and people pretty much forgot about that, but Orange Cassidy is so over right now. This is a great thing for him, and I'm looking forward to see Jericho and Orange Cassidy more. But, you know, this is the one thing I have with stuff like this is AEW overbooking and getting too many people involved in too many different feuds. We saw it with Cody. You know, he was involved with the Butcher and the Blade. He was involved with MJF and, you know, had too much stuff going on at once. It reminded me of the original Superman 3, where there was like 15 angles in feuds in the freaking movie. Jericho has a thing with Tyson, Mike Tyson, who obviously isn't going to be on the show every week. But that's going to be the focal point moving into the next pay-per-view. But then you're going to set him up here in the meantime in a feud with Orange Cassidy. I don't know. That's just a bit overkill for me. Not much else good on this show, to be quite honest. Although I did enjoy the first match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defending their titles against Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall was a pretty good match and a good way to start off the show. The bad, it's not necessarily, I'll explain why I think it's bad. Cody has said since he became the AEW TNT champion, he's going to be a fighting champion and take on anybody. But he hasn't really taken anybody of note. He's had an open challenge every week. And this week, Ricky Starks answered the call. And I have no idea who he is. But you know, they did a good job of getting this guy over, and I thought he was a decent wrestler. And he seems to be catching fire on social media right now, but come on, man, if you're going to have an open challenge, at least have matches with somebody that we know about. I mean, I know they're trying to make new stars, and maybe I'm just splitting hairs right now, but a guy the caliber of Cody taking on a guy you've never heard of just doesn't seem logical to me. The Dark Order and Colt Cabana. Apparently, the Dark Order had given Colt Cabana an envelope with, I'm only assuming, has some kind of a contract in it. And he looked very befuddled over that when it was handed to him. And later on the show, we see cameras showing Colt going into Brody Lee's dressing room. And then on social media, they had an exclusive interview after that with Colt Cabana. They want to play it for you right now.
Here with Colt Cabana. And Colt, we saw Evil Uno hand you a contract earlier this evening. Are you in Dark Order?
I guess that's the question. Marvez, you got to understand, after you wrestle, you know, after a match, there is so much energy, electricity, the adrenaline is just running. And after I wrestled Sammy, I realized I've lost to Sammy on Dynamite. And the week before, I lost to Jericho on Dynamite. And I was saying to myself, I have to do something different. I have to do something different. I'm not doing it correct. I don't know what the different thing is. And yeah, the camera, it caught me going into Mr. Brody's office. And I did talk to Mr. Brody because I'm thinking to myself, you know, what do I need to do? But what the camera didn't catch was I also talked to Trent. You know, I talked to Sonny Kiss. I talked to Luchasaurus. Like, that's what we do as wrestlers. We're talking to people. So there's a lot of people jumping to conclusions, which I don't think is necessary at this moment. It does not mean I'm in the Dark Order. But I understand the skepticism, maybe, with the contract that was offered to me. And I was offered a match. And it was announced. I was offered a match to tag with Mr. Brody on Dynamite. And I just want the people to understand that in this time, in America and the world, when unemployment is so high, and I'm thinking to myself, will I have a job? Will I have a job? Losing to Sammy, losing to Jericho, my high-profile matches, I'm not doing too hot, and then I have this opportunity to wrestle on Dynamite with a star, like Mr. Brody, with a high-profile star, and it's a match I have to take. It's a match. Why would I? Who's going to turn down an opportunity to wrestle on Dynamite? I will wrestle. And if it is to tag with Mr. Brody, that's fine. I have nothing against or for Mr. Brody. I heard him out, and right now I'm doing my own thing, and I'm just looking forward to getting back on the win track, and hopefully that starts next week on Dynamite, tagging with Mr. Brody Lee.
Wow, Colt Cabana, Mr. Brody Lee. Check it out.
I mean, Colt's a good talker, but this story is stupid. It really is. You know, he talked about wrestling, you know, a few matches recently on Dynamite and not winning and all that, and says, you know, he's on a losing streak, but then goes on to say that, you know, he was offered a match possibly to team up with Brody Lee, and he's like, yeah, I got to take it. You know, I'm never going to turn down a chance to wrestle on Dynamite. Dude, you've been on Dynamite every week, you know, for the last few weeks. So that to me, that just didn't make sense. And the whole poor me for Colt Cabana after, you know, going on a win streak when he got there and then losing to the Murderhawk Monster, Lance Archer. Now he's on a losing streak and he has no choice but to accept this match with Brody Lee, and he's got nothing against them. I don't know. It fell short. It fell short with me. I didn't like it. I also didn't like the Young Bucks match against Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. We'll get into Jimmy Havoc a little bit later, but nah, not a good match. Not a good match for me.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
The Ugly. Good Lord. We now have a zombie in AEW. This is starting to look like WWE's version of ECW, for crying out loud. You know, we have an alien, and now we have a zombie. That's right. Complete with makeup and crawling to the ring. Abaddon took on Anna Jay. And a really good video package featuring Anna Jay before this match, learning a little bit more about her, which I like. But then she took on Abaddon. And just here, listen to the way Jim Ross describes this.
And her opponent from the Black Hills, Abaddon!
Well, we got our first look at Abaddon a few months ago on AEW Dark, and
so much the history lesson, Excalibur. Look at this person. I don't care where we saw her last. You're never going to forget her. Look, she's crawling out on her hands and damn knees.
She's coming out of a horror movie.
She's a horror movie come to life. But when she competed on Dark, she faced off with the now AEW Women's World Champion,
good
Hikaru
God
Shida.
Almighty. Don't adjust your sets. I'm sorry. I apologize. But look at this human being.
And she even intimidated and perplexed Shida. So it'll be interesting to see what she has to offer against Anna Jay.
Anna Jay, 22 years old, said, what the hell have I got myself in for?
I just got a note from Dr. Britt Baker. She says this broad needs to find Jesus ASAP.
I know I'm giving Jim a hard time, but when you got to sit through shit like this, bless his heart. Poor JR and Tony have to go through this ridiculousness. I'm sure Excalibur fucking loved it. But this is so bad. And after featuring Anna Jay in that video package and learning more about her character, she loses. She lost. Oh, Jesus, you can't make this up, man. You're going to feature somebody before the match and then bring in Abaddon, who's only been on AEW Dark. And I wouldn't even aware of that because I don't watch that shit show. And Abaddon comes out, crawling to the ring and all. And she wins. I said it when I went off on AEW last week about their stupid-ass backwards booking. And this is yet just another example of how their booking makes no freaking sense. Moving on to NXT, I loved this segment.
Karrion Kross has been here, what, for 5 minutes? He has a long way to go before he earns the right to step into the ring with me. Which brings me to you, Keith Lee. You said that you had your eyes on my NXT championship. Well, guess what, big man? I have my eyes on something too, and it's the NXT North American Championship. Because do not forget, I am the first ever. I am the greatest North American champion there has ever been. And maybe I'll feel like carrying the North American Championship for 381 days. Maybe I want two championships over these shoulders. And maybe, Keith Lee, after I beat you, you and the rest of the world can refer to me as Champ Champ, baby.
Speaking of champions, how about the NXT North American champion, Keith Lee, who Beth has made no bones about it. Keith Lee's got his eyes on the NXT championship.
Two's a crowd, three's a party. Here comes former NXT champion, the first triple crown winner, Johnny Gargano.
Wow! What a cool moment between you two. But I hate to break it to you. Johnny Gargano doesn't care about moments anymore. He cares about results. And the result last week was me pinning you 1, 2, 3, Keith. I'm coming after that North American championship. But why stop there? I am the first ever Triple Crown champion in NXT history, and it's about time I get the title reign that I deserve. Candace and I are going to make history as the first ever married couple to be NXT champion and NXT women's champion at the same time. And then you, maybe you can call me Johnny Champ Champ. How about that?
John Boy, how is Candace doing?
She's doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure? Thank you for asking. After what you did last week.
You mean what you did? Because I seem to recall I was more concerned about her than you were. And I remember specifically when I picked up her little body, I'll never forget this, as a tear almost shed from my eye, and she whispered to me, "Thank you, Mr. Limitless. That's the most action I've had all year."
You're a liar! You're a liar! I was there, that didn't happen! Quit being weird!
Hold on, look at this! The Prince!
Keith, I'm not sure if you heard me last week, so I'm gonna tell you again. I've held titles all over the world. But the North American Championship is a title that I have never held.
First of all, my name's Johnny. It's not Mark, okay? And remind me again, were you a Triple Crown champion like I was? Because I don't think so, buddy.
Johnny, I'm nothing like you. I don't wait in lines. I cut right to the front. Big man, this isn't a challenge. This is a warning. I'm going to take that title. And when I do, I'm coming right for you.
Hello, yes, gentlemen. The passion, the competition. And you've given me an idea where I think everybody wins. Next week, Keith Lee will defend his North American Championship against Johnny Gargano and Finn Balor in a triple threat match. I haven't forgotten about you, Adam. No, no, no. Because whomever walks away as the North American champion will face you, Adam Cole, on July the 8th. Champion versus champion. Winner takes all.
What? NXT General Manager William Regal ensuring that the 4th of July fireworks continue until July 8th.
Really, really looking forward to seeing all these get together, all these guys. Keith Lee, Finn Balor, and Johnny Gargano in a triple threat match. You kidding me? Sign me up all day. I'm really, really looking forward to that. I also enjoy the continuing saga between the former El Hijo del Fantasma, who is now known as Santos Escobar and is unmasked, and Drake Maverick. I like what they're doing. Escobar, Raul Mendoza, and Joaquin Wilde end up taking out Drake. And Drake got taken on an ambulance and taken to a local medical facility. So I don't know if he's going to be out for a little while, but I'm enjoying the stuff between these guys. Not much else good on this show, to be quite honest. To me, it wasn't a very good show at all. So let's get into the bad.
Dream NXT TakeOver in your house. You competed against Adam Cole for the NXT Championship in a historic backlot brawl, but part of that means that because of your loss, you can no longer challenge for the title so long as Cole is champion. What's next for you?
Wrong question. Compelling question, Tom Phillips, but wrong question. Question you should have asked is, how are you, Tom Phillips? And you've been in the WWE for 10 years, and this is your first interview with the Dream. Okay? Understand this, Tom Phillips. The Dream has no recollection of that, plain and simple. And this is a misunderstanding. The Dream got a little help from Dexter Lumis at In Your House with the Undisputed Era. The Dream helped out Dexter last week. That's called a favor return, Tom. This. Dexter, understand that this means nothing. The Dream is a solo act.
Dream and Dexter Lumis. The only thing I liked about this was Dexter showing up behind, like his head popped up behind Dream's couch that he was sitting on, which is creepy as hell, and puts a picture, like a drawn cartoon picture next to Dream. Dream saw, and it was a picture of Dexter and Dream with the WWE or with the NXT tag team titles on. But other than that, I think Dream is overrated. I don't think he's a great promo. I don't even think he's a great wrestler. And given what we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the news, you might not see him on TV much longer. But I didn't enjoy Dream's promo here at all. Another thing I did not enjoy was Bayley and Sasha Banks taking on Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Why? Why are the Women's Tag Team Championships, which should be a Raw or a SmackDown title, depending on who the champs are, why would you be defending this in NXT? Bayley and Sasha are on a tear right now, trying to show everybody and tell everybody that they're the greatest tag team of all time. Men, you know, male or female, doesn't matter. They are the greatest tag team of all time. Put themselves over the women, put themselves over the men, say they're better than the Hardy Boys, all these other teams in the past, and they're apparently on a tear, and they can go on any single show they want and wrestle whomever they want to prove that they're the best tag team ever. That's horrible. I can't wait for these two to break up and have a match together so we could be done with all this shit here. And the ugly. Imperium against Breezango. Here's what I hated about this. You have Breezango going on last week saying that they've been taken as jokes, you know, whether it be with the fashion police or the different gimmicks they dress up as, and they want to be taken seriously. And I'm like, all right, sweet. Like, and they even, you know, they even had a couple matches recently where they were very, very serious and pretty brutal. And then we get this. We get Imperium coming out, and then Breezango comes out, and Tyler and Fandango impersonate Imperium with their outfits and their song and their mannerisms. And it's back to being the whole comedy thing, especially against a serious tag team like Imperium that you need to take seriously because they're pretty tough guys. And you're just counteracting what you've done over the last few weeks and contradicting yourselves. It's just right up there with AEW, man. Like, this shit doesn't make sense. Don't tell everybody you want to be taken seriously, and then you're going to come out here and be a comedy act again. It's fucking stupid, man. This show wasn't good as a whole.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, SmackDown. SmackDown on Fox. It was a very enjoyable show. It was funny. I really enjoyed Raw and SmackDown over AEW and NXT this week. I thought they were both fantastic shows, especially Raw. Raw was very, very good. Here's what I liked about the opening of SmackDown.
Last reward is for those who stand up and grab it, not for those who sit and want a handout. Doesn't work that way. But I could sit here and chit-chat about all my accomplishments and all that greatness about AJ Styles, but why don't we get down to what everyone wants to see? This is why you came here tonight, to see it. Let's give it to him, Renee. Yeah.
Very well. All right.
All right, but first, but wait. I mean, you're great, Renee. I mean, it's just you're not the right person for the job. No offense. No. There is one person qualified to present this championship to me. Daniel Bryan. Come on, Daniel. Come on. I beat you fair and square. Put it around my waist and say congratulations. It's that simple. Listen, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. If you're a coward, you're a coward. You want to put it around my waist, and that's fine.
You'll be a coward if you can't put it around his waist.
Don't forget to say congratulations. Make sure you put it on tight. Oh, it feels good. Congratulations, right?
Congratulations.
That's it? That's it. Terrible. Terrible. No one heard that.
Wow. Okay. You want me to say a few words? You want me to say
That's
a few
That's not what words? I said. I said congratulations.
Okay. Congratulations, AJ Styles. Last week, you were the better man. And though you and I, we disagree about a lot of things, I infinitely respect your ability in this ring. Do you know what? You have the opportunity to be the greatest Intercontinental Champion in WWE history. Yeah, what about that? Yeah, if you show up every week, if you push yourself, and if you defend that Intercontinental Championship against the amazing superstars standing around this ring that are hungry for an opportunity. I mean, imagine your legacy if you defended that championship against Shorty G. Imagine that match. Imagine your legacy if you defended that championship against Grand Metalik. Imagine that match. Imagine if you defended the Intercontinental Championship against Big E. Wow! What a match that would be.
That's enough. I'm not you. Your vision's not my vision. You see, a select few will have an opportunity at this championship. Somebody on my level. Okay? And speaking of getting an opportunity, you're at the back of the list.
Okay. I can handle that. But if you're so interested in earning things and people earning things, that means that you would be willing to defend your championship against Drew Gulak, given that he pinned you in this very ring 2 weeks ago. Defend the title. He earned it.
What did I say? I'm not Daniel Bryan. Okay, I'm not giving handouts. Not anymore. And the next person who wants to stand up and run their mouth, they're going to have to deal with the consequences.
Bro.
Oh, man. Look who's here.
Leave it to this guy to be late to his own debut on Friday Night SmackDown.
Bro. I'm not asking for anything. I don't want you to give me anything. I'm actually here to give you some advice, some info. Because I hear that you're the face that runs the place. Well, I want to inform you that I'm the bro that's going to run the show.
Old declaration from Riddle. Will not be disrespected on his first night as Intercontinental Champion.
And Riddle won't be disrespected either. He's taking the fight right to AJ Styles with a kick right to the face. AJ Styles knocked silly, dumped outside the ring by Riddle. And Styles is irate.
Understandably so, Riddle just avoided the celebration.
AJ and Daniel's promo was fantastic. AJ himself is doing some fantastic work. I love his stuff as a heel. I love the house that AJ Styles built, the face that runs the place. What I didn't like about this, we can put that a little bit into the bad column for now, was the bro that's going to run the show, Matt Riddle. I've never been a Matt Riddle fan, at least not of his character. I don't mind watching him as a wrestler in the ring. But this was dumb to me to come in. I mean, he made a splash. I mean, it's, you know, his first appearance on SmackDown, and he beats the Intercontinental Champion AJ Styles in a non-title match. I love the fact that they were about to announce it as a title match, and he's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! I never said this was a title match." That was genius. But Riddle beating AJ just like that, when Riddle hasn't proven anything on the main roster yet? I mean, yeah, I guess there's a precedent for that in the past. You know, guys like Sheamus, who, you know, first match against John Cena wins the WWE title, or Carlito defeating John Cena in his first match for the U.S. title. John Cena's put over a lot of guys in their first match. first match against him. It wasn't Sheamus' first actual match, but I believe it was Carlito's first actual match in the WWE, beating John Cena for the U.S. title. You know, Kevin Owens coming on and facing John Cena when Kevin was the NXT champion and making his first appearance on Raw, and he beat John Cena. God, you don't really realize how many people John Cena's put over when they come on the main roster. but anyway, I don't know. I love the beginning, didn't like the end. And we'll see what happens to Matt Riddle here when we get into the news. It'll be very interesting to see what happens in the next couple of weeks and how many shows are taped. But yeah. Chad Gable against Mojo Rawley. I actually liked it. I hate Shorty G's gimmick, but he's still a fantastic wrestler. And I thought these guys did well together. I've never been a big, huge fan of Mojo's character, but I think he's a really good wrestler. And Chad Gable got the win. So it's a big win for him. I also love the Firefly Funhouse. It was the return of the Firefly Funhouse, and I didn't see the turn that this took. I expected somebody to come back to take on Braun Strowman, but I wasn't aware that this was going to happen.
We're really glad that you're our friend, and this is a friendship that'll never ever end.
Me. It's been way too long. Seriously. Did you guys miss me?
Yeah!
I can't wait to tell you all about what I've been up to lately. I joined a book club. I learned all the latest TikTok moves. See? I mastered the dark art of resurrecting the dead. Oh, and I learned how to knit. Yeah. I even infiltrated a reptilian stronghold. I see you.
Hey, dude! Weren't you just sitting in the corner for the past few weeks muttering to yourself about losing to Braun Strowman? Remember?
Thank you for reminding me, Rabbit. That's right. I did lose to Braun Strowman. But in defeat, I realized that I went about this all the wrong way. You see, Braun Strowman is someone I've known for a very long time.
Speak of the devil. No, speak of the monster. The universal champion. The Strowman Express, the monster among men, is here. The last time Strowman encountered Bray, he was able to withstand the mind game. Strowman fresh off the Universal Championship victory at Backlash this past Sunday. A 2-on-1 handicap affair with Miz and Morrison.
Look, Bray, before you even get started, just don't. You had your opportunity and you failed. There are no more games. This story between me and you, it's over.
Our chapter may be over. But Brian, I wasn't lying about resurrecting the dead. Our story is just getting started. What's wrong, brother? You look like you've seen a ghost. Now, in order for us to move forward, we must first take a step back to where it all began. I created you, Braun. Therefore, it is my duty to destroy you. And you know where to find me. All you have to do is follow the buzzards. Run.
What better way to further the storyline and get more mileage out of it than bring the original incarnation of Bray Wyatt back? The Bray Wyatt family, the leader of the family, when he first brought Braun in? And now you get three matches out of this. You get Funhouse Bray, you get Wyatt Family Bray, and then you get The Fiend. And who knows, maybe The Fiend will ultimately win the title. But Bray mentioning that he learned how to resurrect the dead, and he brings back the original Bray Wyatt. Outfit and all, lantern and all, even a real lantern this time, not the fake LED one, but an actual lantern with fire in it. And the accent. Genius. It's good shit. It's good shit, pal. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. One more part of the good was this interview with Jeff Hardy and Renee Young.
After everything that you've been through for the past couple of weeks, have you been holding up?
It's been a roller coaster, you know, physically and emotionally. You know, I just came back from my injury like 2 months ago. I'm 42 years old, and I've been trying to turn my life around. It feels like I've been trying to turn my life around my entire adult life, in a sense. But, I mean, my life has been amazing. It's just the bad times that can haunt me if I let them. And just when I feel like I'm turning things around, it's like I extinguish one fire over here in this part of my life, right? Mm-hmm. And then I turn around and there's another fire in front of me. I guess what I'm trying to say is the struggle is real.
You know, this rivalry with Sheamus, I think a lot of people would say that it's been uncomfortable to watch as he just continued to target your struggles with past addictions. You know, then this past Sunday at Backlash, you had an opportunity at redemption, and unfortunately you came up short. How have you been dealing with that loss?
I mean, I've lost a lot of matches. I'm going to lose many more. But the thing is, Sheamus is a constant reminder of what I don't like about myself. And it creates this negative thinking that makes me feel like if I could just beat the holy hell out of him, shut him up, it would confirm that I'm resilient, my spirit is strong, and that I'm turning things around. But then there's another part of me that, from losing, I guess, that negative thinking comes back in. I start to doubt myself again. I start to wonder, am I good enough anymore? Am I a bad performer? Am I a bad husband, a bad father? All that dark stuff kind of comes back. But the bottom line is, if I've learned one thing in this life, it's that I have to catch myself before that cycle of thinking spirals out of control. Sheamus doesn't have a problem with me. Sheamus has a problem with himself. He's just a miserable, insecure bully who mistakes my honesty and vulnerability as weakness. I've overcome bigger obstacles in my life, and Sheamus is just another sickening obstacle that is in my way, on my road to redemption. Renee, I am a human anomaly, and I am not done yet.
I love pre-tape interviews, and Jeff isn't usually the greatest promo, but I thought he knocked this one out of the park. I really, really enjoyed it. And Sheamus even had his own rebuttal saying, yeah, I am a bully. And just played up the heel part. It was good stuff. The bad? Lucha House Party, New Day, I wasn't a fan of their match. Even they're all pretty entertaining. That kind of fell short. And there's only one ugly, and it goes back to Sasha Banks and Bayley. Just so obnoxious. And maybe that's the point, but getting on commentary for way too long and just not good. I mean, like, it's fine if they're being annoying heels, you know, like Asuka and Kairi Sane or whatever, and they're being overly obnoxious, but Bayley and Sasha aren't even that good on the mic. They brought nothing on commentary. And it sucked. And then we get Sasha in a quick match against Nikki Cross. It just wasn't good. Sasha got the win. But I don't like this whole... It's pretty, you know, telling that the ugly in all three WWE shows this week were Bayley and Sasha Banks, because they were on all three shows, and they were the worst parts of those shows. Just shows you a lot about how I feel about them, apparently.
The Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
That is the good, the bad, and the ugly for the week of wrestling this week.
Here's what's going on in the world of pro wrestling in this week's RTW News Desk.
All right, the RTW News Desk. Hashtag speaking out. So many things have come out over the last few days about physical abuse and sexual assault allegations and rape allegations and pedophile allegations in the world of wrestling, primarily in Britain, in British wrestling. That's most of what has come out this week. But we've heard a few actual mainstream stateside stars get outed as well. But I'm just going to go over some of the names that have spoken out. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of these people I don't know because they are part of the British wrestling scene, which admittedly I know pretty much nothing about. The most notable I will lead off with is Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay, which many of you know in the independent scene and New Japan, a huge star overseas and had some ridiculous matches over the years, even drawing the attention of WWE mainstream stars. So Will Ospreay and Bea Priestley are part of this speaking out thing for getting a girl blacklisted because she accused his best friend of something. And Will issued the following apology. And he's apologizing to Pollyanna and Gothic Lolly. His apology says, "I wrote a tweet 3 years ago that only lasted on my timeline for 2 minutes before taking it down because I knew what I did was wrong. Before I knew it, it was screenshotted and making the rounds on social media. My crime is opening my mouth without having any knowledge of the situation and defending a childhood friend that I could never have imagined performing this crime. I issued an apology 3 years ago and done so much to better and educate myself on everything I did wrong. I know I need to do even more. I would like to clear up that I've never been part of any group trying to blacklist anybody. To my knowledge, she retired in 2016 while my post was in 2017. I've never spoken to any promoter about not having her on or around shows. I won't lie to people and say we got along because we didn't. That's normal in wrestling. Some people will rub you the wrong way. We had heat because she would always belittle my partner in her training years and quite frankly bully her during training seminars and make comments to other wrestlers behind curtains and whenever they were in matches and give stiff shots for no reason. Then this all came to my knowledge after she had left pro wrestling because she wanted nothing to do with the business. So if you ask me about her, I tell you my dealings with her, but I can't force anyone to not book / promote someone. As during her last year in the UK, I was on the same shows as her. I've been wrongly put on a list of men that have taken advantage of women and now are rightfully speaking out about horrible incidents that have happened to them and encourage them all to keep coming. Please do not take any frustration out on B. B. Priestley has been mentioned in all this as treating people unfairly. This has done nothing to do with her. This is all my doing, my tweet, my words. I regret so much. I have great relationships with so many of the people that have spoke out. And after my apology back in 2017, I was welcomed with open arms by all the promotions and their locker room leaders in the UK because of how sincere I am and how much I care about everyone from backstage to fans in attendance." So now people are calling Will, such things as a cancerous, low-life piece of human scum. And if you defend him because of his work rate, you're equally as bad. The little scumbag and his POS girlfriend should be locked up with the rapist scum that he protected. It's a mess. I mean, Will just should have kept his mouth shut and just let this blow over. But apparently, the story is Ospreay and Bea Priestley from AEW blackballed a rape victim. If this is true, then it's not good. Somebody posted a fake tweet out there that from New Japan's Twitter page that Will Ospreay was released, but obviously photoshopped. I've checked New Japan's timeline. They have not made that announcement as of this recording here on Saturday, the 20th of June. There's a list out there that at McDrea Bean on Twitter has put out. This list in no way infers that one allegation carries any more weight than the other, according to what she said. She's attempted to compile what she could here of the alleged allegations, and it's a very, very long list. Mostly British wrestlers, but there are quite a few mainstream people you may have heard of. Obviously, Alberto Del Rio. We know the stories of him being accused of sexual assault and rape. Bea Priestley, as I mentioned before, from AEW, allegedly complicit in harassing a victim of rape. Supposedly, Big Cass was accused of domestic violence. We know Enzo was as well. The Briscoe brothers have been accused of being homophobic, threats of violence against LGBTQ Corey Graves has been accused of soliciting pics and distributing pics of a minor. Darby Allin has been accused of emotional abuse, sexual assault, rape of partner. David Starr, who was a wrestler and a promoter, I believe, has been outed this week, accused of sexual assault, rape of partner, verbal and emotional abuse, attempted assault of a minor, as reported by a non-victim, and gaslighting. Supposedly Edge abused Amy Weber. Jack Gallagher has been accused of sexual assault and attempted rape, and he was actually released this week by the WWE. So Jack Gallagher is no longer in the company. James Ellsworth was outed this week, allegedly soliciting pics from a minor and sent unsolicited pics to a minor. Jay Lethal has been accused of sexual assault and rape, verbal abuse, intimidation, retaliation. Jimmy Havoc was accused of emotional terrorism and physical assault. Quite a few stories have come out about Jimmy Havoc this week, and he was actually released by AEW. They made an official statement this week that Jimmy Havoc is no longer with the company. Joey Ryan, obviously a flasher, obviously known for his dick. Many of his moves include his penis. He's been accused this week of sexual assault, sexual harassment, intimidation, pedophilia, attempted sexual contact with a minor. Not a good look for him. Jim Cornette. This is very, very strange. Jim Cornette has been accused from several people for grooming, intimidation, retaliation, verbal abuse. Also, being a cuckold. Apparently, during his days when he owned Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Jim Cornette was accused of giving favors to people or giving people wrestlers pushes if they would have sex with his wife, and Jim would sit there and watch it. Obviously, he denied all this because, you know, what else are you going to do, right? You're not going to come out and say anything. But this is, the list goes on and on. Jordan Devlin has been, former NXT Cruiserweight Champion, has been accused of domestic violence. WWE listed or came out with an official response saying that they're listening to the allegations and will be determining, will be doing their own investigation. Matt Riddle is on that list. I'll get into the story of Matt Riddle here in a second. Ligero, trainer and wrestler, has been accused of soliciting pics from a minor. Marty Scurll has been accused of the same type things. Mikey Whiplash, a wrestling promoter, has been outed for sexual harassment, allegedly soliciting pics, emotional abuse. Priscilla Kelly was outed as allegedly bullying someone and being complicit in silencing her partner's victim. Randy Orton's been accused. Rich Swann's been accused. Ryan Satin's been accused of sexual harassment and also publicly harassing Vince Russo's son. That's been crazy too. Ryan Satin, writer for PW Sheet, and who's on SmackDown on Fox, or he's a part of Fox. it's not good for him. I don't see him recovering from that. The list goes on and on. It's all out there. It's so many crazy stories have come out this week. Speaking out is the number two trending topic on Twitter right now. And of course, Rebby Hardy had to chime in and said, well, it's nice to see people accepting of women hashtag speaking out now that it's a trend. I was labeled, quote, problematic whenever I called anyone in wrestling out for anything. And y'all wonder why most girls don't say shit. April Hunter came out and said that Ashley Massaro is dead, y'all. She was raped on a military base overseas and then told to keep her mouth shut by WWE, and she killed herself not that long ago. Let's not forget her story in life. Wrestling has been a disgusting, seedy, carny business for many, many years. This has been going on forever. How is Pat Patterson still allowed to have a job and be in the Hall of Fame after everything he's done, allegedly, to young wrestlers over the years? It's deplorable. WWE has made a history of cleaning up stories over the years. I'm just waiting for stuff about, you know, like that to come out. Like Jordan Devlin was released. Matt Riddle was on this week's SmackDown. He's been accused of sexual harassment from years ago, which he said he cleaned up back then. And the fact it's coming to light now is bullshit. His lawyer even made a response about it. They obviously, people are giving WWE crap for having Matt on the opening segment of SmackDown this week, but it's like the first half hour of the show. The show was already taped. This came out yesterday. And you can't rewrite and refilm a show just like that out of the blue and take a half hour, 40 minutes out of your show. So, I mean, WWE really didn't have a choice but to keep it in there. Evil Uno of the Dark Order was actually the only real mainstream person that's still, you know, currently employed by one of the big three, came out and said that he was abused. He said he had many advances made to him when he's a teenager from 14 onwards. He was forced to wrestle nothing but boxers for a priest under the guise of it being a quote TV taping. He was sent lewd photos and given hotel numbers, and he was lucky that it never went beyond that. But even he came out and spoke about it. But he's pretty much the only actual, you know, contracted star right now in any of the big companies that have come out and said anything about it. It's just amazing about stuff that's going on. Liz Savage, speaking about NWA Vice President Dave Lagana, who resigned from his position after this allegation was made. Innocent people don't typically resign, but we'll wait and see what happens there. But she had told her story a little bit this week. After being friends with Dave Lagana for 4 years, he sexually assaulted me. I moved to LA after 2 years of him asking me to come out. He told me I was a real friend to him, as I had been there for him when he was at his lowest. He wanted to bring me out to LA for work. He was back and forth between ROH and TNA at the time in 2010, but told me if I came to LA, he would put me on NWA Hollywood, and he needed someone to help him make the wrestling promotion agency he wanted to run reality. I could even stay with him until I got my own place, and he'd show me around. So that's a big name right there. NWA Power, the vice president, resigned from his position. Justin Roberts was also accused this week. Someone even posted screenshots that were sent to them. This girl was 16 or 17. And it shows him asking for nude pics. So he was allegedly sexting with a 17-year-old girl. There's more screenshots from Velveteen Dream, who was accused a month or so ago of the same thing, and now there's more screenshots coming out with conversations that he had. Patrick Clark is not in a good position right now. I was surprised that he was still put on WWE TV after the first allegations, but now there's more stuff to come out about him. Speaking with a minor, there's other people that have released, you know, screenshots about Patrick Clark as well. So I don't know. Just everything that's coming out has just been absolutely crazy with Jack Gallagher being released, with Jimmy Havoc being released, the stuff with Jim Cornette is just weird. You know, the Matt Riddle stuff. Dave Lagana being released. More and more stories are coming out every single day. I know this segment has been all over the place, but it's just there's so much information to take into account of what's going on. It's hard to cover it all, but it's really a dark day, a dark few days for wrestling. It's just not good. Progress came out and said that they cut David Starr and Mark Perry, and that they will not tolerate any sexual abuse or any kind of abuse with anybody in their roster. Black Label Pro and British Wrestling Revolution cut ties with several wrestlers that were accused. They're cleaning house. But it doesn't shock me, because wrestling has been accused of being a very disgusting business for many, many years.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
That's all I got for the RTW news desk. I mean, not anything really noteworthy of going on. That's really all that anyone's talking about right now. So it's time for Polyester the Evil Taylor and this week's Imbecile of the Week.
It's time for everybody's favorite segment.
If you guys don't know how to use a seatbelt, just ring your call button and Tommy will come back there and hit you on the head with a tack hammer.
You know, Lloyd, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber.
Here's Polyester, the Evil Taylor, with the Imbecile of the Week.
Some people are really stupid.
Good evening to each and every one of you imbeciles out there. Welcome back to your favorite segment of the Ninja Turtle podcast, the Imbecile of the Week, hosted by, well, me, Polyester, the Evil Taylor. The year is 1994. The Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks are clashing in the NBA Finals, and as everybody's already aware, the Houston Rockets were the NBA champs. 2005. It was a middle of the summer interleague game at the time. The Houston Astros and the New York Yankees were playing against each other. History was made on that day when the Astros threw a six-pitcher no-hitter against the New York Yankees. 2015. This young and up-and-coming Houston Astros team had a wild card berth and in the playoffs took out the Yankees. 2017, American League Championship Series. Houston Astros defeated the New York Yankees. And don't get me wrong, those pesky Yankees made it a little difficult. Took the Astros 7 games, but they advanced to the World Series and eventually became the World Series champions. Now, 2020. Granted, a lot's been going on in 2020, but early on in 2020, the Astros had a campaign against them just to smear them for quote-unquote cheating. I mean, Pauly doesn't see cheating at all. I mean, if you ask me, the Red Sox and the Yankees are perpetual cheaters that never get punished for these sorts of things. But regardless, they were framed for being cheaters. And a lot of outspoken Yankees. You had imbeciles like CC Sabathia, imbeciles like Aaron Judge, standing on their high horse, screaming from the heavens, "I never." Basically just throwing the Astros under the bus, knowing that they were perpetual cheaters as well. But of course, Major League Baseball decides that, well, they want to keep the Yankees under wraps as far as they're cheating. Earlier this week, it's been confirmed that it was a confidential letter which Yankees officials claim that would ruin their reputation because it was cheating allegations in 2017 with the Yankees. This, of course, coming off the bat where they already got caught using technology, and they just swept that under the rug. No, nothing to see here. But this letter, apparently, like I said earlier, the Yankees officials are saying that they can't let that letter out because it would ruin the reputation of the New York Yankees. It's easy to see that the Yankees cannot live up to the Astros standards and they're jealous of the Houston Astros. I mean, that's quite plain and simple. History dictates that. And I could see where the envy comes from. Bottom line, the New York Yankees are cheaters. They cheated, they got caught, and they try to sweep it underneath the rug with the help of the commissioner of Major League Baseball. All that being said, Rob Manfred, you will be this week's Imbecile of the Week for being a bad, bad commissioner trying to hide what the Yankees did and, well, trying to hide the fact that they're cheaters. Just a bunch of stinking cheaters. That'll do it for this week, you imbeciles. Give me a follow on Twitter. @ThePauly_Esther. That's @ThePauly_Esther on Twitter. Tune in again next week. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the imbecile of the week.
Oh, Polly. Polly. As Polly knows, I'm a Red Sox fan, so I absolutely hate the New York Yankees. So that was a fun segment, and I emailed him about it and said, thank you for posting that. He's like, he said something to the effect like, shut up, I hate the Red Sox too, imbecile, or something like that. I forgot what it was, but that's good stuff by Polly. All right, guys, that wraps it up for this week's flagship. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am @RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch. I'm a Twitch gaming streamer. I stream every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Central, and every Sunday afternoon at 2 in the afternoon. It's twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. And check out my YouTube gaming channel called RadRobGaming. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it is @RadTurtlesPOD. You can send us an email at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. If you want to check out our company's Twitter page, the R&R Podcast Network, leave us a follow on Twitter. It is @RRPodNetwork. Richie Reardon will be bringing Wrestling Anonymous back here in the next week or two, and also is launching a political show called Freedom of Fear, which you guys will absolutely enjoy, and that will be launching in the next week. So stay tuned to our company Twitter page @RRPodNetwork for any new shows that we'll be bringing on to the network. And we're also looking for anybody else that wants to start a podcast or has a podcast and wants to bring it over. Just send us a DM on Twitter @RRPodNetwork or send us an email. Our email address is rrpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. That's rrpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll be back here on Tuesday for another edition of RTW Rewind. Until then, guys, happy Father's Day to all. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here on Tuesday. Take care, guys.
Thanks again for listening to the flagship edition of the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Please follow RTW on Twitter @RadTurtlesPod. You can also send us an email @RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for all your support. You've been listening to the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.